CBSI in the world, I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Vijay Vaitaswaran of The Economist magazine, the energy and climate innovation editor, to help us through the surprising articles, alarming articles pouring out about where we are, climate, weather, drought, and the challenge ahead. I read from the New York Times reporting in these last hours. Climate change has plunged the western U.S. into its worst drought in two decades. In Arizona and Nevada, it's been so hot that doctors warned people they could get third-degree burns from asphalt. Wildfires raged in Montana and Utah. And the most stark of all is a photograph of Lake Mead behind the Hoover Dam. The levels in Lake Mead, reports the New York Times, which supplies water for millions of people, are at the lowest since the 1930s. In one California lake, the water was so shallow that officials spotted plane wreckage from a 1986 crash. Vijay, a good evening to you. Thank you very much. I was taught over many years that weather is not climate. However, in this instance, it looks very much like this is climate-related, the plunge of water levels. We've been here before. I understand there's a cycle. Is there, to your understanding right now, a connection made by the public between this shocking picture of Lake Mead? I understand that another 175 feet of decline, the hydroelectric plant at the Hoover Dam will be challenged. Is the public making the connection between the drought and our energy use? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Great to be with you. So, water is one of those powerful and evocative issues related to climate change that touch everyone's lives, right? There's some aspects of climate change that may be a generation to come. A sea level rise happens relatively slowly. It's hard to notice day to day. On the other hand, no one on earth can go a few days without water, right? And we know water scarcity has been spreading around the world. Desertification has been advancing. And we see this, of course, now in the American West. There is a climate linkage, no doubt. However, I would like to say this is also an issue of how we manage water. And that, in a sense, is actually a note of optimism. And the reason is, while we need to do the same things that we need to do to tackle climate change, that is, change how we use energy and resources for the bigger climate problem, which is not just about water, right? It's about intense storms. It's about many problems that are going to result from climate change that we've discussed previously. In the case of water, if we look at other things that we can do short of radically decarbonizing the energy system, which we're on the way to doing. California, about 80% of its water is used by the agricultural industry. Almond trees and other very water-intensive crops are being grown in what is basically a desert. And you ask yourself, is that really the wisest use of such a precious resource? And of course, they were done in part because of a history of encouraging that industry, tax and other favorable subsidies permitted this industry to grow. Various forms of political patronage were involved with that. That diversion of water and use of water in a way that's not sustainable has to be rethought. And there's a huge amount of wastage of water as well. And the West, more broadly, not just California, is facing a serious challenge to the way that it uses and misuses water. And I think that goes deeper and even beyond climate change.
The IPCC, the UN body charged with summarizing all of these various moving stories, a lot of mixed pictures here. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, I learned, has a report that's due next year. However, a draft has been leaked to Agence France and is being reported in Britain and throughout Europe that the alarm bells are not just ringing, they're ringing off the wall. But I need Vijay to interpret some of these remarks, because this is specialized language and it talks about things that are coming and that things are upon us right now. The key to the IPCC report is something that we call tipping points. That's a metaphor that we use often in language about contests, about political arguments in particular. But in this instance, it's referring to metrics that you can see in nature. Vijay, the tipping points here are some of the many that are listed, we're told, in the IPCC. I just had a few of them. And you mentioned we can't see the oceans rise as dramatically as we can see Lake Mead retreat. But some of these I've read about over the years, and I want to know where we are in thinking about them. The first is the methane in the Arctic permafrost. I know that the Arctic permafrost is adjusting or dramatically changing. There have been reports for years about that in Alaska. What is the effect of that methane being released? And is that not a greenhouse gas, is my memory?
Well, you're certainly right. Methane is, in fact, even a more potent greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide. We all think about carbon dioxide or CO2. It's the prevalent greenhouse gas. But methane can be 18 or 20 times as powerful in the short term as carbon dioxide. But it's much more short-lived. It stays with us only about 20 years before it disappears, let's say, whereas carbon dioxide stays in the air once emitted for more than a century. So we need to be able to hold two thoughts in our heads at the same time, that methane, which often, for example, comes from natural gas pipelines that leak, as an example, or, of course, infamously from flatulent cows. It is, in the short term, if you're looking at the next 10 to 20 years, a much more intense problem, and also one where we have a leverage of being able to deal with it. That is, if we can press the button on methane, for example, the huge leaks that are coming from natural gas pipelines, especially in the former Soviet Union and other parts of the world. And now we know with satellites that have gone up and more advanced detection methods, there's a lot more of this leakage than previously understood, including from natural sites like waste bogs in Bangladesh that are massive emitters of methane as that waste degrades, dump sites. And so we can actually target them and deal with them relatively inexpensively and with technology that is available today. To me, that again is another one of those sources of modest optimism that, yes, this is a terrible problem and we have some triggers that we are coming up against, but we also, if we act, can actually begin to solve it. And so I wouldn't despair. The news is not one that we can't do anything from this IPCC report. The news is, hey, we better start hurrying. The light has gone from green to yellow to flashing yellow, but it's not yet a red light.
Another tipping point mentioned in this leak of a draft, this is not the final report, is the Amazon rainforest switching suddenly to savanna. I've read enough and studied enough of the neotropical forest called what we call the Amazon to know that mankind is a threat. The destruction of the forest because of farming, soy, the crops of the farmers of Brazil certainly are a damage to the Amazon, but we're switching to the savanna. Is that something that we're going to see in that 5 to 10 year zone, or is this a century long production if it happens?
We will, unfortunately, it is a faster paced problem than a century in the case of the Amazon. And let's think about this. The Amazon, though most of it resides in Brazil, not all of it. We have the Amazon in Ecuador and Peru and Colombia as well. But predominantly, this is a Brazilian territory. Is in fact a heritage of the world. These are the lungs of the planet, as it were. And so there is a global interest in preserving the Amazon. However, there is a local political and economic interest in developing it. And you rightly mentioned the agricultural interest, but there are also the logging interests who often, in my experience, having traveled to the Brazilian Amazon, I spoke with the previous governor of one of the provinces who was a logger himself, who stoutly defended chopping down the Amazon. The news today is that the Brazilian environment minister has been kicked out of office under a cloud because of a scandal involving alleged collusion with logging interests. And so that gives you a sense that even Brazilians who are quite aware of this problem are beginning to take it more seriously, Brazilian people and the body politic, if not the president, who has been pretty dismissive about climate change. And so I think we're beginning to see some action. We may need to think of a global solution. That is, if this is in some sense an asset that protects the world's environment as an important part of the carbon cycle, we may need to think of ways of paying Brazil to preserve the Amazon as a global good, simply because it is, within their territory. They do have certain rights to develop it, even if it's not in the global interest.
What we're speaking about is a report that's forthcoming. There are remedies now. I just want to emphasize what we're about to turn to is part of the thinking about the climate. Miles Allen, quoted in The Guardian, he's a professor of geosystem science at the University of Oxford. He commented about the IPCC report in general, not specifically. It's important people don't get the message we're doomed anyway, so why bother? This is a fixable problem. We could stop global warming in a generation if we wanted to, which would mean limiting future warming to not much more than has happened already this century. We also know how. It's just a matter of getting on with it. We're going to turn to getting on with it. A new item in The Economist magazine about remedies that are at hand already being practiced, especially about electricity usage. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm speaking with Vijay Vaitaswaran of The Economist magazine, and I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.